Welcome to Lent. We are here, are we not? On Ash Wednesday, we, this church, the church worldwide, we began our Lenten journey. There is great promise in this journey, though it is not the norm for us to choose a wilderness time. Lent is characterized by putting away flowers and alleluias. We veil the crosses not to make them pretty, but to hide the symbol of resurrection. Why would we choose this wilderness time? Jesus seemed to need that time, as it was the Spirit who led him into a place of struggle. Why did Jesus need it? For us, it is not, as it was for Jesus, not a wilderness time for the sake of wilderness, but so that we might connect with Christ, who also knew the trials and temptations, the frustrations and challenges of wilderness. It is not wilderness time for wilderness sake, but so that we might grow in our relationship with God, just as Jesus did. As Luke tells the story, immediately following Jesus' baptism, that great moment of connection with God and the showing forth of who God is in the world and who Jesus is, right after that high time, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, led not by the devil, but by the Spirit. That the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness makes us think that this was necessary to prepare him for his ministry. The testing done by the devil during those 40 days was designed to do one thing, because if the devil can do this, everything else takes care of itself. And that one thing was to get Jesus to choose personal control over trusting God or turning to God. Control. We all want it. And many times we do have it through advantages that many of us have. Financial, educational, simply living in this country, in the United States. The Spirit may lead us into wilderness times, or at least invite us into wilderness times, so that we can learn to loosen our grip. This grip we have, for when we loosen our grip on things, God is able to take our hand. Jesus is tempted by the devil, but these temptations do not seem bad, right? These don't seem to be in conflict with the ways of God. Wouldn't it be great to be able to make bread from stones to feed all the hungry? Wouldn't it be great to have power to make peace in all the world? Wouldn't it be great to show everyone that you, Jesus, are God's chosen one? What tempted Jesus and what tempts us for the most part is not all bad, and that's what makes it hard to refuse. The devil can even quote scripture, as we hear in this reading. St. Ignatius was known to have said, for those seeking to follow the way of Jesus, that the devil comes cloaked as an angel of light. Comes cloaked as an angel of light. Jesus does choose God, his Father, his divine parent, his mother in heaven, over all of these temptations. Before starting his public ministry in the wilderness place, Jesus learns about what will tempt him. Jesus learns about himself and God and to recognize the devil. And okay, Episcopalians, it's okay if you don't believe in an actual devil. It's a way to personify evil. It's okay if you don't believe in that as a being. And it might be more helpful, even if you do believe in that, it still might be more helpful for us to think about being able to recognize what distracts us from God, what causes us to turn away from God. We walk with Jesus, who knew all of these temptations, all of this wilderness. We walk the way of Jesus during Lent and through Holy Week as we prepare for Easter. As Episcopalians, we like to tell the stories of God and enflesh them, to live these stories. We do this in our daily lives, not separating what happens here from what we do all week. And we do them during church, live these stories through our religious rites. Those days of Holy Week, as I mentioned, will add meaning and energy to your Lenten journey for this Lenten season and for years to come. So I'm putting in a little plug here, early in the season. Mark those services on your calendar now, so that you'll have them as part of your Lenten practice this year. You can mark them now, and it's already part of your Lenten discipline. This year, it's March 20th through the 26th. And especially Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, the Great Vigil of Easter that Saturday, these are special days for us, for Christians, but not often observed by many in our church or any church these days. I mentioned on Ash Wednesday that we don't often talk about days of what used to be known as holy obligation. Remember that phrase? Days of holy. We don't do this anymore because we don't like to say that anyone is obligated to anything. And there's good in that. There's good in that because we'd much rather come together because we want to be together rather than somebody's telling us to do it. I do think it's pretty much better, but it occurs to me that I at least ought to let you know that it's part of our Episcopal tradition to come to church on those days to give you enough notice so that it might be possible. And I do believe that observing Holy Week and these days of Lent will enhance your religious experience of Lent and of Easter. Some years I feel that Lent has arrived just in time, because I've already been in a wilderness, right? Sometimes I can relate to Lent so much better than Easter. And now the church is reflecting what I'm feeling. Maybe you've felt this way either this year or in years past. Like, it's almost a relief to have the focus bring us to a place that is sort of an open place, less full of things, so that we can look around for what really matters. This year, the start of Lent with its wilderness theme is tracking well with some wilderness that we enter this day as a community. For we say goodbye to Martha today, who after 25 years of faithful, creative, inspired ministry here with us as our director of music, concludes her ministry with us, so that she can be faithful to God, faithful to answering a new call from God. There is more than a little wilderness to go around today, however. And yet, Sunday is always a day of resurrection. In fact, the 40 days of Lent do not officially include the Sundays. This is a Lenten Sunday, though. There will be tears, but there will also be cheers of thanks for all that Martha has shared with us, given to us, and how she has formed us as a faith community. Wilderness, but also resurrection in this day for us. For Martha's joy in music and in community kept this church together during some dark wilderness times over the years. And as Mary Thorpe shared on Facebook last night, Martha brightens every place she goes with her spirit and with her music. Well said. It is impossible to look at this situation of 25 years of service, of relationships, and not see resurrection, even through our tears. This is the first Sunday in Lent, for sure. We enter this wilderness time with Jesus, who will show us the way through the wilderness to even newer life, So much in life convinces us that we are masters of our existence, our realities. Choosing to enter into Lent is one way to acknowledge that we need God, to remind ourselves that God is the only one who can sustain our lives and give us the grace we need to live. We in our culture, we kind of need Lent to give us permission in this world of consumption and information gathering. We need Lent's permission. It's really less of a demand and more of an invitation to make some space. Space in time, space in place, space in thought, to focus on God and thereby connect with ourselves more fully, God more fully, and what really matters, what's really going on. Christians have always needed a special time for such a shift of focus, but perhaps we need it now more than ever. An interesting book was published in 2014 entitled The End of Absence. The End of Absence, Reclaiming What We've Lost in a World of Constant Connection. In this book, Michael Harris describes the intense world of connection made possible by the internet. It's so much a part of our lives, I've mentioned it already today in this sermon. It shapes so much of our lives, perhaps even reshapes them, perhaps even reshapes the structures of our brains, some say. Harris makes the point that we are the last people, those of us born before 1985, so some of you here don't fit into this, but we are the last people, those born before 1985, to know what life was like before the internet. And that might be worth considering, because it's really monumentous, this change in culture and communication in which we are living. Perhaps going into the wilderness for us might involve turning it off a little, at least some of the time. Some take a Lenten break from social media. I never do though, so I'm not really recommending that. But it could be something you'd like to do, or maybe we could do it for one day a week. I don't know. Maybe the whole idea of a Lenten wilderness can mean more to us, those of us who live in this state of constant connection. Lent came into being to help the faithful prepare for Easter, and that continues to be the primary reason for this season. Lent is not an end in itself either, but a path to closer, deeper connection with God. As we hear in the Ash Wednesday service, the first Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church to prepare for them by a season of penitence and fasting. We are invited to an observance of a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. Often we do hear and we think of people giving something up for Lent. But a good Lenten practice is whatever helps you, whatever helps you grow closer to God. And as I preached on Ash Wednesday, this is not self-indulgent or self-absorbed, but rather our personal spiritual growth frees us to be more present to others and to the needs of our communities and our world. Perhaps for some of us, a good Lenten practice that meets us on the ground where we are in our reality, it might be, this is very particular, it might be to think and to pray about why we're sad Martha's leaving. Not just for the sake of being sad, although grieving is entirely appropriate for this situation, but what is it that we value about her ministry? What's it been like for 25 years? You might, for those of you who've been here that long, you might go back and think about this in terms of maybe 5-year periods. What's happened? How's it developed? What did you like about that? What did you love? We might ask, what have we learned about God through Martha's leadership and gifts shared with us? These are the gifts, I've said this before, that we get to keep, all that she's given us. We might ask, what have I learned about myself? We might ask, how can I continue to honor the gifts Martha has given us? And perhaps, how do I want to share these gifts with others? Lenten practices are best when they are very personal, tailor-made by God for each one of us. Let us pray. God Most High, thank you for signs of your power and grace shown to us even in the wilderness. Give us courage to stand firm in your word in every time of trial and testing, that we may enter the land of your freedom and receive the salvation you so generously give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.